Good morning. I find the Christmas season to be an interesting time of the year. In many ways, because we follow two kind of calendars. There's kind of the church liturgical calendar and rhythm, and there's also what I like to refer to as kind of our society, our culture's calendar rhythm. And sometimes a little different. In our everyday lives, our culture, our society, I would suggest that Christmas, the Christmas season, begins on Thanksgiving afternoon. I grew up as a kid, I don't know if this was because of where I grew up, but just outside of New York City, but when I was a little kid growing up, my brother and I, we'd get Thanksgiving ready, and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade would be on TV. And I remember my father, at the end of that parade, if you know, the last thing that happens is Santa Claus. And my father would call out, you know, Brian, George, Santa's here. Oh, Santa's here, you know. And we'd watch Santa come down waving and everything. And it was kind of Christmas has started. You know, come shop at Macy's. I mean, that's the whole point of that parade, to shop. And we need to shop. We buy gifts. We want to get things for people, those good things. And so that season begins. Trees go up. Lights are on houses. What's interesting with that rhythm, with that calendar, is that the Christmas season ends on December 25th. It's over. And, I'll drive around on, like, December 26th, and you'll see trees out at the curb, you know. And it could be that some people are traveling, just need to get the tree out of the house, afraid it's going to ignite or something. And the lights kind of get subdued. In the church calendar, Christmas begins on December 25th and goes until usually around, we consider kind of like tomorrow, the Feast of the Epiphany. That's the Christmas season. And it's a season. It's very appropriate for me to say to you today, Merry Christmas. We're still in the Christmas season in the liturgical calendar that we follow. But we live in different rhythms. In my household, maybe because we procrastinate, we have a lot going on or something, but we rarely put our tree up until like the December 20s. You know, that's us. A lot of people put their tree up Thanksgiving. That's a tradition on Thanksgiving Day. None of these are good or bad. They're just different. Our tree goes up around the 20th. So for most of what we call Advent, all our neighbors have their lights on, the trees, the Santa Claus, everything going on. We look like this darkened house in the middle of our street. But by a few days before Christmas, we put lights in the windows, the Christmas tree is lit up and everything. So what was interesting is my family and I, we went away for about 10 days, went up to Cape Cod, and we came back just last night and drove into our neighborhood, and most of the lights were out, but our lights were on in our window. She had on a timer, and I put the Christmas tree on. It's an artificial tree. And then I went out and looked back, and our house seemed to be the only one with lights on. You know, then it's just a sign and a symbol of the different rhythms that we follow. So it is still Christmas. Both, whatever those calendars are, they're both times of joy, great celebration, and stress, and sometimes, you know, trying to get everything done. But we're coming to the kind of the conclusion of the Christmas season with the Feast of the Epiphany, which is tomorrow, but we're celebrating it today here at St. Paul's. And we have this wonderful altar, a frontal of the wise men, reminding us of that day. Today is the day that, you know, if you still have your nativity scene up, the wise men arrive to worship the Christ. And in our house, I've shared this before, I think, in our house, we have in our living room, we have a piano. And that's where we put our nativity scene. And years ago, when my daughters, we got together, it was great seeing everybody up at the Cape. My oldest is 30 and my youngest is 27. When they were little girls, they both played music. They played the violin and the viola and took lessons, and they played in different groups. And they'd always get little rewards for things that they had done. And they used to get these little busts of little Bach or Beethoven Mozart. And so on top, we put those on top of the piano. And so when they were little, I was putting the nativity scene up, and I moved Beethoven, Bach, and Mozart to a side, and I put up what we have as the three wise men. And my daughter said, why are you taking them down? I said, well, because I got to put the wise men there. And they said, well, Bach and Beethoven and Mozart are pretty wise. And so we started the tradition of having off to the side, because usually the wise men are off to the side in the beginning. We had the three wise men, and right amongst them was Bach and Beethoven and Mozart looking at the manger scene. And so tomorrow, the wise men will be at the manger, and also there'll be Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven looking in as well. So there's all these cute kind of customs and traditions that we have. They bring memories, they bring family memories, they create stories and customs and traditions. They're all wonderful. They're all wonderful. But one of the things that can happen, I think, on the Feast of the Epiphany is we can miss a very powerful story that Matthew intends in this story of the wise men. Usually we think of three wise men. As we know, we don't know how many wise men there were. There could have been three, there could have been a dozen. It doesn't really say in the gospel. We do know they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So always think three gifts, three people. But we don't really know. But they come to this scene. Matthew's writing this for a reason. The community to whom he's writing is going through some shifts and changes. The early believers and followers of Christ were Jewish, and they felt, for those who followed Christ, this was the long-awaited Christ. This was the Messiah. He came to us. And like many customs, this isn't just an observation of the Jewish tradition. This is an observation of all religious traditions, even us today. The Jewish tradition felt that Jesus, the Christ, belonged to them. He's ours. We own him. Came to us. But what's happening was this Jesus, the Christ, was being followed by others who are not of the Jewish tradition. And like religion often does, there's us and there's them. And the early church was like, who are these them who are coming part of this community? They don't come with our traditions, from our cultures, our language, our worldviews, our economic background. They don't come from the same thing. Who are these people? Who are these Gentiles, they were called? Gentiles. And it was a real struggle in the early church. As an aside, St. Paul is one of the leaders of the early church who brought this church to a broader perspective, to not just us, but to them, whoever them were at that time. So what Matthew is doing in this gospel of the story of the wise men is absolutely brilliant. So what he's saying is to the readers, to his community for whom he's writing, who's a mix of mostly Jewish people, but there's now Gentiles, non-Jewish folks coming in, what he's saying to them is, even at Christ's birth, they were there. They were there, the non-Jewish people. The wise men represented this larger world, these people who are not from the Jewish tradition, not from that culture, not from that language, not from that worldview, not from that way of seeing things, that they recognized Christ even at Christ's birth and came to worship him. Do you hear that message? That's a powerful, powerful message that Matthew is trying to communicate in what we call this Feast of the Epiphany. This feast of, the word epiphany comes from the word epiphanos, to manifest, to be made, to manifest might be the best word, to show forth, to manifest this presence of Christ. And the wise men go forth into the world. Now we can sit here today and say, oh, those times, they didn't understand. But is that story possibly our story too today in our world? Can we be like that? For most of us, you know, thank goodness that message was preached in the early church, because unless you have some Jewish heritage in your background, none of us would be here. It would have been just a Jewish sect that went on following Christ, but it became broader. And how in our world today, what I'm hearing in this story of the Magi, this story of Epiphany, how do we today live into that even more deeply? Who are the them in our time, in our experience, in our culture? Who are the they that perhaps come from a different language, different culture, different economic background, different worldview? Do we truly welcome and embrace and open ourselves to that kind of presence as the early Christians did? And can we model ourselves like that? To be that kind of a church, a community. You know, we hear today that you read all the reports that the church is in decline, attendance is going down, and is the church, does it have a presence in our world today? And I think as long as we convince ourselves that we have to continue to be us and not look at the they, we live in this kind of dualistic worldview. The church has a lot to do to think about that. We need to be sure that we are deeply rooted in our tradition, the early tradition of the church that welcomed and opened itself up to the presence of others. A few months ago, I was at an event and I was chatting with some people, and someone came up to me and said they'd heard about St. Paul's and would be very interested in maybe coming and learning more about it, but said to me, but you know, this person said to me, I'm not sure I even believe in God, to tell you the truth. I'm an atheist. And I said, well, what better place to be than St. Paul's, to be with us? And let's delve into that. Let's, you know, wherever the answer leads you. Do we project a sense that people even find us unapproachable? Because they're afraid to question, to wonder, to think. But to have ourselves open to the other and the culture and differences. So I think about today, during this season of Christmas, this season of the birth of this Christ, this birth of the light in the world, this light that is manifested and shown forth through the story of the Magi. May that story be our story. May we have encountered the Christ and go forth into this world, bringing this presence to a world, bringing this light to the world that is so dark, so dark. This light is so needed, so necessary. May we be that light. And so I say to you, happy Epiphany and Merry Christmas.